in spite of what I may look like, I can truly say, hallelujah, I have a testimony. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh. that I've been blessed and I have a testimony. How many this morning come expecting a miracle?
Amen.
Not just come to be in church. How many came expecting a miracle?
Yes.
Expecting God to have a mighty move in our lives. Amen. Prayers that haven't been answered to be answered.
Amen.
God opened doors that have been closed. Amen. How many know God to make a way out of? No way. We bless the Lord. Can we all just say thank you, Jesus? Come on, give God the highest praise. Can we say hallelujah? Give God a praise. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to be remiss in thanking God for all that he's done. Truly, we thank God for my wife. Amen. The song said, I'm so glad she don't look like what she's been through.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for her. I thank God for all of you, the ministry, the musicians, everyone in their respective place. Truly, God is good. The scripture says his mercies endure. God's mercies endure forever. When we should get judgment, God gives us mercy. I'm going to ask you to all stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from the first division of Psalms. Amen. I know somebody said, we've been going over the same scriptures a whole lot, over and over. Amen. But there's something about this scripture, you know, even though we've hit it for the last 2 or 3 weeks, there was something in this scripture I just couldn't rest with, you know, and every time I go away from it, God kept bringing me back to that, to Joshua, the first chapter, and verse 8. Amen. Joshua was a challenging time, the book of Joshua, because Joshua was taken over after Moses. And God gave him instructions. The first division of Psalms is the beginning of the Psalms. God gave us instructions. So we're going to go through this, but there are some key words that I just couldn't rest with. Amen. I've been looking for almost a month. I just couldn't get it. I've been open in God's own time. He'll show you what he wants you to see. So we're going to read Psalms 1, verses 1 through 6 all together. Amen? Most of us know this by heart, but nevertheless, for those that don't have it, it is on the screen. The scripture reads verse 1. Blessed is the man. Blessed is who?
Amen.
That walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord, the first scriptures that many of us have memorized besides the 23rd Psalm. Amen. But I kept, for every time I would get away from this first division of Psalm, for some reason God would bring me back. Amen. And it starts off as, blessed is the man. How many want to be blessed?
Amen.
Come on, how many want to be blessed?
Amen.
All blessings come from who?
God.
Blessings come from God. So he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the that's pretty down black and white. We have to live right for God to bless us. We have to have the right associations for God to bless us. And we have to go in the right directions in order for God to bless us. So it's so important that the company that we keep, I said it's so important, that the company that we keep can either bring us down or it can elevate us. So he's talking about, how many want to be blessed? The only way that any of us can be blessed is that we have to do it God's way. Amen. So the message today is stay with God if you want to be blessed.
Amen.
How many want to be blessed?
Amen.
Your blessing does not come outside of God. Your blessing comes in staying with God. Amen. But in particular, the second verse is, I just couldn't get this out of my spirit. You know, he reads it. But his
delight.
And we know delight, we know what delight not too long ago, the Bible says, we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will what? Give us the desires of our heart. So delight means to hold God in awe. It means to wander after God. The psalmist said, my soul thirsted after God. So to delight means to hunger, to crave, to want God. Amen. So it says, but his delight is in the law. That the law of the Lord is what? The word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now when you look at that word meditate, this is the word I just couldn't get this out of me. Right? So when we look at meditate in the English, when we look at meditate, it means you just gotta keep God's word on your mind. How? Day and night. And I've been looking up this meditation for like last month. I'm like, what in the world is about meditating? Amen. And God is trying to take me to another place. But the word meditate is a Hebrew word, hagah, which is H-A-G-A-H, for those that want to write down. I'm trying to help you out, especially our ministers. Hagar. And you would think that this word means you just have a quiet, silent reflection. Right? That's what you would think it means. But like I said, I just couldn't rest because I'm meditating on God's word day in and day out. And amen, as I said in the book of Joshua, when Joshua was taken over after Moses, God told Joshua he needed to be strong and very courageous. But then he told him to meditate in his word day and night and not to turn to the left or to the right. So he said, well, what is this meditation? Amen. What does God really mean? Well, the Hagar word means to be on a prowl like a lion. This is what meditate means. When you're talking about God's word, it means to be on a prowl like a lion. It means to search after God in such a way that we are like a lion in search of his prey. That's what this word meditate really means. It doesn't just mean to be in a passive way, but it means to diligently search after God. And Paul summed it up best. He said, that I may know him. Amen. Not just to know him in a casual way, not to know God in a passive way, but to know God in a way more perfectly. So meditate means that with the word of God, when it comes to the word of God, we should be like that lion that's after the prey. Nothing should be able to stop us. So he said, now, I need you to, day and night, not to be passive, not to be casual, but to search after God, just like a lion is after the prey. And as I was going over this, and God was showing it to me, and said, you know what? Everything that God has in the word for
was telling us that we have to crave after God. It's an earnest desire. It's a longing. Hallelujah. Not just a passive thing, but we have to long after God day and night. Now, how many know it's a difference between a craving and a snack? It's a difference, sir, between craving God's word and a snack. Many Christians only want a snack on the word of God. They just want to dip and dab in it a little bit. But there's no longing down in the soul. There's no real desire to be with God. There's no real desire to have God's word in our heart. So we just passively, you know, sometimes, well, did you read your Bible? Yeah, I read one or two scriptures. That's not what the Bible said. You want to be blessed? Amen. You have to meditate. That means I'm just like a lion after the prey. When I get into God's word, hallelujah, I got a desire. I got a craving. How often? Day and night. Right? Now, if we go back to, let's go to Joshua Judges chapter 1 for a minute. All right? We're all in a place in our lives where we need something from God. We're all, hallelujah, everyone living today needs something from God. Joshua had one of the greatest challenges of all after he took over after Moses. And if Joshua never learned anything else, he learned from Moses. Moses told God, he said, Lord, I've seen you do some great things. Has anybody seen God do great things already in their life? Has anybody seen God make ways out of no way? Have anybody seen God move obstacles that people said could not be moved? Well, Moses learned about God's presence. And then to the point that Moses told God at one point, he said, if your presence don't go with us, Lord, I won't move. Lord, if your presence don't go with me, I won't do anything. It's something about God's presence. Our victory does not come through our own abilities, but our victory comes through God. Hallelujah. So Moses learned, hallelujah, and Joshua, who was his understudy, watched Moses. Amen. And he saw that the importance of being able to be with God. How do you know every most times when God called Moses out, he also called out Joshua? Because he was preparing him, hallelujah, to follow Moses. And the scripture says, I'm not going to go there, but it says that God told Joshua, he said, there will be not another man that's able to stand before thee. He said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Yes, Lord. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know what he said? He said, wherever you go, Joshua, my presence is going to go with you. Amen. So Joshua is saying, now I'm about to step into some big shoes. Moses fell and then wasn't able to take the people of God to the promised land. How many trying to get to the promised land? I said, how many trying to get to the promised land? How many want to see him face to face? How many want to be able to say, my soul looks back and wonder how I got over? So Joshua was about to undertake something. So God tells him in verse 6, be strong enough. You cannot follow God if you're weak. You cannot follow God if you don't have courage. Courage means you have to stand, even if you have to stand a law. Courage said, I have to do what's right if everybody else does wrong. So God is telling Joshua, he said, now I'm going to be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake thee. But it's important that you be strong. Amen. Somebody said, well, how am I strong? Why should I be strong in God? Oh. Our strength does not come outside of God, but our strength comes in God. So if you want a blessing, you have to stay. Look at somebody and say, you got to stay with God. Come on, you got to stay with God. Now, just for a moment, do you think the devil knows that as long as we're in God, he can't affect us? Do you know the devil knows that as long as we're with God, that nothing can harm us? Paul said, all men forsook me. Hallelujah. How many know he said, hallelujah, I didn't worry about a thing because and being on the prowl like a lion. Amen? There's always going to be something to try to distract us. Something is going to try to make us leave God and His Word out. But I heard Jesus say that without me, you can do nothing. Hallelujah. So Isaiah 31 and verse 1 reads, "War to them, they go down to Egypt. Ungodly counsel won't help you." Hallelujah. I don't care if it's the best friend, the mother, the grandmother, hallelujah. When I need help, I gotta run to the rock. When I need deliverance, I gotta go to the rock. When I need help, I can't go for all the man does. But when I really need a deliverer, I gotta go to the rock. And that rock is
Jesus.
Come on, that rock is
Jesus.
Jesus. Hallelujah. He never fails. God never lets us down. Hallelujah. So I want to bless you. Look at somebody and say, you got to stay with God. You got to stay with God. Hallelujah. Now, somebody said, well, I've been with God, but things happen. That's because you weren't strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might, you had to put on the whole armor of God. Amen. We put on bits and pieces, but we're in a battle. How many know we're in a battle today? Whether you choose to acknowledge it or not, today or not, the devil is on the prowl. The devil is trying to destroy every last one of us. But Paul, Peter, as he writes about the devil being on the prowl, he said, "Who resists, steadfast in the faith." You can't overcome the devil and his power with your own might. You can't overcome what the devil's trying to bring you down with your own ability. But you have to be strong in the Lord. Well, how am I strong in the Lord? I got to keep the faith. Amen? So he says, "War to them to go down into Egypt, I've got a counsel. I don't care who it is. Won't help you." Amen? And his righteousness, he says, "And stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are," we get caught up in, "Well, I just want to go with the crowd." Hallelujah. We are a crowd for God. You got to be strong. Even if you have to stand, Paul said, "I got to the point where no man stood with me, but I had to stand alone." He said, "Because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither." So they're trying to get help, but they're going to the world for help. Egypt is always symbolic of the world. So God said, "You can't get help if you leave me out." They don't look to the Holy One, neither do they see the Lord. Yet He also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not. Why is it so important for us to use God's word? Because God said, "If you use it, I won't call it back." He said, "My word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I will, and it shall prosper." How many want to be prosperous? He said, "It shall prosper into the things whereto I send it." So you can't get blessed outside of God. You cannot get blessed outside of the word. Can we say hallelujah? So he said, "I will not call my word back." Amen. And he goes on to say in the fourth verse, "For thus says the Lord, for thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as a lion and a young lion." This roaring is the same as the word meditate. It's that same Hebrew word, Hagar. He said, "Like as a lion and a young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called for against him." Now, a lion is after the prey, and which is, we know if it's shepherd, then it got to be what? Sheep. Right? So even though all the shepherds are making noise and trying to distract the lion, he's on the prey. Amen. He said, even though the shepherds, amen, are making noises and trying to distract him, he will not be afraid of their voice. Well, that's how we have to be with the word of God. Amen. How many know there's going to be a whole lot of voices? There's going to be a whole lot of things trying to prevent us. Hallelujah. You got to be on the prowl. You got to be hungry. Amen. You got to have that craving. You got to have that desire. He says, seek those things which are above. Well, what? How do you do it? Casually? No. I need a blessing. You can't give me a blessing. I can't give you a blessing. Oh, but once I lock in, hallelujah, once I get a hold of God, amen.
So what God is telling you to do for the good,
the devil reverses it and uses it to for the evil or to distract us. How many know if God said it? I heard somebody say, I believe it, and that settles it for me. The Bible lets us know it in the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. Let's go there for a minute. Let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. How many know we're trying to be locked in? Well, what are we locked into? I'm not locked into what he said, she said, or they said. But I'm locked into the Word of God. Matthew 6 chapter verse 31 reads, therefore, take no, that means stop all of that worry. He asked, I believe in the 5th chapter a little earlier, he said, who by worry can change one hair on the head? Who by worry can change their stature? So it says, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Wherefore shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the, that's the world's way of thinking. That's how the world thinks. Worry, worry, worry is not of God.
Right.
Amen. The Bible says, be careful for not. Don't worry about it. Trust God. The devil is using what God meant for good. And he's twisting it and using it for evil. So instead of us trusting God and not worrying, every time something happens, we worry. Amen. John Mason, in his book, The Book on Average, said, worry is interest paid in advance on a loan that you don't owe. Every time you worry, you pay interest and you didn't even get the loan yet. By what? Worry. Amen. God tells us to take no thoughts. Amen. But then he drops down a little further. He says, but seek ye
first.
Seek ye
first.
The kingdom of God and his. And then all this stuff you're worried about, God said, he will add to you. You can't get blessed outside of God. You can't get blessed any other way. But you have to see first the what? Now, this is a personal inspection. The Bible said, examine yourselves to see whether or not you're in the faith. What are you seeking? First, what has become number one in your life? I want to be blessed, but God is always on the back burner. I want God to make ways for me, but God is always on the back burner. Well, the devil wants you to keep God on, because as long as God is in the back, you can't get blessed. In order for you to get blessed, you have to see. Come on, y'all, put up my finger. Help me out for y'all. Y'all get a little tired. Don't y'all fall asleep on me. These my mouth that y'all should be sleeping in. You got to do it how? What's the first thing you got to see? The kingdom of God is the word of God and the will of God. A lot of us are seeking the word of God. We say, oh, God want me to do that? I'm not going to do that. You cannot see God's word without seeking his will. You can't see God's word without seeking his will, because his will is telling us to do one thing and our minds are taking us another way. Well, you got to meditate in the word. Well, how am I meditating? I'm like a lion, right? I'm on a prowl. I am a Hagar, H-A-G-H-A. I have to want this word bad enough that I won't allow anything to hinder me from getting to God. That is number
one.
Number one. So God's word has been supplanted in many of my life with other things. Distractions. The cares of this world, the cares of this life, they are choking the word. Listen, that's what the Bible says. The cares of this world, the care, riches of this world, the what? Choke the word and make you on. It doesn't say you didn't come to church. You're just not blessed because the word of God has been choked. Well, what's choking it? All those voices. All those voices. We have to get to a place of God. Listen, how many know when the devil is setting you up? Then, listen, I'll give you one example of a setup. Anything that's against God's word is a setup.
Right.
it's contrary to God's word, it's a setup. The Bible said God, it takes the foolish thing of God to confound the wise of this world. So what wisdom the world gave you, that Bible said that it is foolishness unto God. Somebody said, I just get tired of hearing the word of God and preaching. Paul said, God saved us through the what? Foolishness of preaching. That's why he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because it's a power of God unto me. So the foolishness of preaching saved me. Everybody that's saved today was through the what? Foolishness of preaching, because we wouldn't allow anything to choke the word of God. We're losing victories. God has so much in store for us, but I'm saying, I have not seen, and what? Ear hath not heard, and neither hath entered into the heart what God has in store for those of us that love him. Well, we're missing it because we are distracted. I'm asking you today, what's distracting you? I don't care if it's an addiction, if it's an individual, if it's a job, if it's an occupation, if it's a desire. What is preventing you or keeping you from getting to God? That's your distraction. I don't care how much you work, you'll never get blessed till you eliminate that distraction. Does the devil know it? Yes. Remember this. Everything that God has in the word for good, the devil reverses it against the saints. But if you're not spiritually minded enough and discerning, the devil will be beating you in the corner and you don't even realize it. Why? Because you're not real proud. Right? Anybody else? How many of you ever watched the nature program? You know some lions? Them lions are ferocious. Those lions are ferocious. When we're supposed to be hungry after the word of God, day and night, like a ferocious lion. That's what meditate means, as we all say. You can't get blessed outside of God. Our blessing always comes in God. Jeremiah, in one of the lowest points of his life, he said, God, every time I do good, and I do what you tell me to do, it seems like I receive evil. Right? I just want to put that up on the screen for me, Jeremiah, the 15th chapter. We're going to read verses 15 and 16 as we all stand and the elders come forward. God's word has to be the most important thing to all of us. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word will stand until the end. God's word will stand. The 15th verse of Jeremiah 15 read, O Lord, thou knowest me. He said, remember me and visit me and revenge me of mine. When you're in trouble, don't run to anybody but to God. Warn to them to go down to Egypt for help. He said, take me not away in thy own suffering. Know that for thy sins I have suffered rebuke.